And we are delighted to have in studio Dr. Paul Peterson. He is the superintendent of District 77, which is the Mankato Area Public Schools. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Karen. It's great to see you again.
It was a month. We just had a little break, so there's a lot of things to talk about. Hopefully, we'll get caught up a little bit here.
Can you believe it? I mean, we're on spring break. This is the public
schools this week.
Spring break. When we come back next week, it will be April. And then, I mean, you blaze through April and May. You land the plane, graduate, and off you go into the next summer of planning for the next school year. So, I don't know. It seems like every year goes faster and faster, but this year just has flown.
Well, you know, you were just mentioning before we got on the air that this year's class is the one that started when COVID shut down is graduating this year.
They graduate. Yeah, so 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. What was it? It was the March of 2020.
Yes, yeah. March 15th is what seems to stick in my head.
Yeah. And so here we are. They will have gone through 21, 22, 23, 24.
4 years.
Yeah, four years. And what a different journey that they've had comparatively.
You know, that is for certain. And I'm wondering how that has impacted them, because my own son, who is now a junior, so he went through that too. It's been a little more challenging, I think, for a lot of them. And even what we see here in the college level students who went through that, because they didn't have your typical journey, as they say. It was almost like an extended vacation in some ways. So I don't know how you are thinking and how you're feeling about how this group is coming through.
Well, it's definitely different, and it's not just at the high schools. The middle schools have seen some adjustments in elementary, absolutely. When you look at all the big indicators of school success, whether that's attendance or behavior or academic achievement, graduation rates, grades, everything cratered in those first few years as COVID was hitting, and then you're continuing to collect that same data. And I think the last several years now, the last two especially, school districts, public school systems have been digging out from that, putting in additional interventions, in different supports for kids. We're all so thankful that, for the most part, I mean, things are really back to more of that typical school experience. Monday through Friday, everybody's going every day. But reestablishing those routines and those norms, that is going to take a while. And it sure feels quite typical in schools these days. But we know that our kids were really negatively affected by having so much time either out of school or learning in different environments that they just weren't programmed or they hadn't experienced before. So it's a lot for them.
And I feel like socially it's really impacted them too, because, you know, when you're going every day, whether it's work or school or whatever, you're seeing people, you're interacting all the time. And it was pretty much you were in your house with your own family. You didn't even go to holidays or things in a lot of cases. So I think that socialization part really went off track for the kids that in that group.
And so then when you think of children aren't just shorter adults. They are developmentally, you know, they are different, brain development, all of that. And so that was really that was a perfect storm, where you have kids in isolation, that now becoming part of their norm and feeling like, oh, I guess this is how you do it. But then once you return back into more of a social environment, you really struggle and not quite sure. It was hard enough for adults to get back into that. Kids, it really has affected them. But like I said, in our schools, if you would go to East, West, Central, our elementary schools or our middle schools, you walk around and it feels like school. The very first year back from COVID, when everyone was like, what in the world is this? The dysregulation was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
That really has gone. But there are things inside that we're still working through, and kids working with their parents and their caregivers and with the exceptional staff, they're getting through it. But it's been a tough road.
When you started at Mankato Area Public Schools, you had come from St. Peter. What year did you start here in Mankato?
Yeah, so started in the summer of 2019.
Okay, so you were just out of the pan in, or, you know, yeah, out of the fire into the frying pan, or whatever that saying is, so to speak, because, you know, you had pretty normal things going on in St. Peter, and then you came here to this bigger district.
Right, yeah.
And we're sort of thrown into chaos.
It was interesting because, so I started in July, and I had a listening and learning plan, and it was a 100-day plan to get out and get to know the community in different ways and community leaders, not only in that way, but then also inside our system, just understanding the culture and the climate of our schools and kind of doing that needs assessment for what was going to be coming down the pike. And not on the bingo card was pandemic.
Right.
And
it wasn't get free space. It was,
So, yeah, that definitely altered that first year. But what a how fortunate Carrie, myself. I mean, we feel very fortunate to be here in Mankato and helping do what we can to advocate for and move our public schools forward.
So it's, you know, it is a different feeling in a different world in many, many ways for all of us. And it was just sort of, like you said, you put one step in front of the other and you continue on. And now one of the things you have challenges is things with the legislative session, is funding and all that sort of things. What's happening in that area?
Right. That's great. So just a couple weeks ago, our school board and myself, we were up at the day at the Capitol. The Minnesota legislature, they're in session right now. They're working hard. It is, as we've tried to temper expectations for our community, but also inside our system, this isn't a funding year. This, you know, as part of the biennium, this is a bonding year. For us, it's more of a language or a policy year. And so as we have been engaging with our legislators, we're talking with them about the continued needs of public education, but also understanding that last year in 2023, that was historic movement for public, a lot of public systems, public education, absolutely. K-12 saw significant dollars flow to the schools. Quite a few policy and regulatory things also came with those dollars, but we are extremely grateful for last year. Now, this year, as we've been engaging with our legislators, we've had to do a little bit of cleanup because there were so many things passed. We just want to make sure that the things that were passed are funded.
So cleanup, what does that exactly mean? And
You know, that a lot of there's a lot of commentary just about the breakneck speed of last year's session, not only with the significant funding, but there was a lot of policy passed as well.
Okay.
Things specific to the READ Act, which is going to have a significant impact on K-12 literacy. That is important legislation, but it's also important that when we're looking at teacher development, teacher professional development, and then also curriculum that will be expected for our public schools, that has some pretty hefty price tags. And so have been talking with our legislators about seeing that that does get fully funded and doesn't become an unfunded or an underfunded mandate. Some new things in the world of unemployment insurance is something that we've been tracking with. And then earned safe and sick time, things that are important and good for our employees. It's important that we also have funds to be able to sustain those into the future because public ed is all about public investment in our future, and that's a lot of those resources come from our state government.
And we've talked about numbers before, and you know, numbers in the public schools maybe have been down in some cases. Even at colleges, we're experiencing that. How is that trend? Is it changing? Is it stable? Is it moving?
Yeah, public schools in general saw a downturn through the pandemic.
Sure.
But here in Mankato, we feel very fortunate that we have stabilized. You know, we have a little over 8,000 students in our pre-K through 12 program. That is very similar to where we have been over the last 10 plus years. And so that helps when you're planning. You're planning for staffing. You're planning for programming. Students coming in means that's revenue coming in, and that revenue then turns around and helps support the things you want to do for kids. And so our board has been very diligent to make sure that we have stable budgets, and a lot of that budget is based on how many kids are showing up every day. We know that regionally, school districts are seeing the impact of a decreased birth rate. And so we hear from time to time, I mean, we have kindergarten roundup coming up here in the next few weeks. When we look at our census data, we anticipate there will be fewer kindergartners, not because they're not going to school. It's because
they aren't born. they're not there.
They're not here.
Yeah.
And so that's good to know early on so you can make adjustments to your planning. But enrollment-wise in public ed, you know, across the country has did take a hit during the pandemic. I think in some of our communities, including in Mankato, as kids walked away or went away, it's not that they went to private or they went homeschool or they went online. In some cases, we don't know where they went.
Oh.
And that...
I mean, did they drop out? We don't even know that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And in some of the larger cities across the country, it's a crisis because there were just too many places for kids to hide.
Oh.
Tracking them down has been challenging. But, you know, overwhelmingly, the vast majority of kids attend public education in our country, in our state, and in our community. And that's why it's important that we keep them strong, and we're feeling good about the direction that we're going.
So as far as a legislate, you said you just visited. Were there specific things that you are looking to encourage them to do now?
Yeah, the top priority that our school board and our district had this year was for the legislature to fix the school resource officer bill that was passed last session. You may remember that was done last spring, and then over the summer and in the early fall, there were some questions that were raised about how school resource officers could do their job in schools given this new legislation. Here in Mankato, our SROs were out of the buildings for about a month.
So there was just nothing, nobody.
Right. They were on call, so we were able to bring them in if we needed them, but overwhelmingly what SROs do, they're in hallways, they're making connections with kids, they're building relationships. It's all the proactive work that SROs do that is so critically important. So to have an SRO offsite doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They're not responding to, SROs don't break up fights. That's a principal's job or a dean of students' job. They are there, of course, if there's a crisis.
They'll be there, yeah.
Or an emergency. Yeah. So it was really important that our city partners, because when it comes to safety, the city of Mankato is our closest partner, city of North Mankato. And we have our SROs through the city of Mankato. They had concerns, and if they have concerns, then we have concerns. And it was a top priority for us to get that cleaned up. They did. Just a few weeks ago, Governor Walz signed that into the changes into law. And so that is now settled.
And so what did that change actually do then?
There was concern by public safety about having multiple standards of care or multiple standards in which a police officer can do his or her job.
Right.
And I can understand, like, that can be confusing. Like, I can do this out in the community, but I can't do this in schools. SROs are, they're cops.
Right.
And so it makes sense that there would be a level of consistency. And I think that's now what this legislative language does, is it provides some satisfaction to our city partners that, as far as their ability to do work, I mean, our SROs are not putting kids on the ground. They're just not doing those things, but you just never know. I mean, and that's what I think some of the concern was. And so we're really happy that that got squared away.
Way back in our day, we're older, if you want me to be honest with you, we never had these resource officers
right.
or things like that. So, you know, it's more of a new thing, and I think it's actually a good thing. I had a lady that I knew that she would always say there were some kids that were troublemakers in the community. She says, so what I did, I would befriend them, and I would give them little jobs. So she says, if you know them, and then they don't want to cause trouble for you because they have a relationship. And I think that's kind of what they've done with this. You know, maybe they're maybe more prone to be troublemakers, but if you know someone, you're more likely to be wanting to please them. I guess that's the word to use.
Well, and I think that in so many aspects of school, whether it's with an SRO, whether it's with a teacher, a principal, a para, a custodian, everything, and it sounds overly simplistic, but everything starts with developing a positive relationship, knowing somebody.
Sure.
And not knowing them like sending them an email. Like, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Knowing means engaging with them.
Yeah.
Figuring out a little bit about who they are. And I think that story that you told is exactly right. And now it's just people understand. I remember when I was a teacher. It's like, if I want any shot of teaching these kids about things like the Bill of Rights or how the economy works, they're not just going to sit there and listen to me because I'm the teacher. Like, we have to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so you spend our teachers spend a lot of time doing get-to-know-you activities and icebreakers and grounding in activities where, you know, kids might think, well, I thought this was math class. Aren't we going to? Yeah, we're getting to math. But at first, we have to have a connection.
Yeah.
And our SROs, like, again, when you go to East, West, Central and you see our SROs at work, they are in the halls, yucking it up with kids, and that's what it is.
They can't be their friend, though, but there's that boundary or that, I guess, but you still, that level of respect, I think.
Yep, yep, and I think that kids today see that authenticity as a real value. That's what great teachers do, too. Like, great teachers aren't trying to put on, like, some sort of a act or a facade. Like, the kids can pick out a fake from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, for seconds. Yeah.
They do, you know, and so we encourage our teachers, be yourself, be friendly, not friends,
right.
And set expectations. And I tell you, when you set expectations, kids who are in relationship with you, they, more times than not, they will meet those. They will reach because kids are just like all of us, they are social beings. And they are attracted to people who like them, see them, know them, and SROs fall into that as well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that is being sorted out.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are, knock on wood, getting better in that sense. How about test scores? You know, we, as universities, we're a university here, and for the, I don't remember the last how many years it's been, probably since the pandemic, they just said, we don't need SAT scores. We don't need those scores or things, you know, just apply to colleges. And I think that's changing now where there's a lot of schools are saying, yeah, we want this information. We need some level of accountability or whatever that would be. Is that something you're working toward or concerned about in terms of test scores? Because we've seen as a state, the numbers have gone down. And now that colleges, again, are looking toward maybe upping standards again, where does that play into what you're doing?
Yeah, it does. And it's something that we take extremely seriously. We put high levels of importance on what we see as our core responsibility, and that is improving student learning. And how do you know a student is learning? Well, you're providing some level of assessment.
Sure.
It doesn't always have to be a standardized test. In our classes, kids are engaging and they're developing things and they're doing work for teachers that are hopefully demonstrating mastery or hitting expectations specific to the Minnesota standards. But schools at their foundation is about learning. We have to have the metrics in place. And yes, during COVID and during the pandemic, things got loose, understandably, where we needed to kind of take a look at basic needs and making sure people were safe, secure, felt good, and could move forward. But now we're in a position where we can be a little more pointed in saying what do our K-5 results look like? Because a fourth grade result on, say, a Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment, to a fourth grader, it's like, okay, that's my score. But first, teachers and principals, superintendents, the board, and to our community, that fourth grade score for that individual indicates whether or not that fourth grader is prepared and ready for the next step of learning. And if those scores, and not just a score, but multiple assessments that you bring in, if it's demonstrating that a student isn't quite where they need to be, the problem with that is that we are then limiting their access to future learning opportunities. And so we need to then get in there, intervene, support, do things differently, help them show their learning in a different way. We put a lot of MCAs in Minnesota are still the accountability test that public schools take. Those are coming up here in the next month-ish or so. And I tell you, our principals and teachers are highly focused, especially in those grades where, you know, grades three through eight are taking them in reading, mathematics, and a couple science tests, and then our high schools are taking those as well. It's important. We use that data to make decisions about what we need to do next to help make improvements and help our kids.
Okay. I'm just curious because I know that's been in the news a lot about the scores being lower than right. they had been in the past and not passing, et cetera. We've talked a lot in the past about your referendum with the school board and 115 million. Did I say that right?
105.
105, sorry. Yeah. That was passed, and now you're moving forward. So let's talk about where are things at with that, with the projects that were included in that.
Yeah, we're so thankful, continue to be grateful to the community for stepping up and allowing those projects to move forward. It's a big ask. I mean, there's no other way to say it. 105 million, Karen, that's a lot of money.
It is.
And we have a lot of schools that needed some upgrades and enhancements. And so we will be starting in April with some of our larger projects. The Center for Learning, which is our preschool center, very close here to MSU Mankato, has already begun its final phase of taking that old MRCI building and converting it into early learning.
I've been watching it, and I think they have a gym or something that was been working on for a while. I think.
Yep. Yeah. And my place just opened up a gym.
Which is that the one I'm thinking of? Maybe.
Which is right across the street. But there is a gymnasium space in the MRCI building.
Okay.
So yeah, you're right. We are shifting that in. Imagine like having a preschool gymnasium. That's going to be pretty
cool.
That's
yeah.
so great. So that project is going. We're going to be starting in on the Dakota Meadows Middle School pool, which will be the home of the Scarlets in the West Attendance area. That will start. That is going to be a longer project. But then we're going to be starting some of our secure entrances at Roosevelt and at Washington. Those will get started this spring. And at Bridges, those will just be through the spring and summer. And we expect those to be ready to go in the fall.
Okay.
Once we get that phase done, we will eventually get, we are in the design phase right now of the West High School remodel. That's a very large project. That will start about a year from now in 2025, and that again will take us a good year plus to finish. But that will make some, they will be very visible changes to the entrance to West High School in the back area with the athletic facilities, the fine arts department.
You know, Jeff and I were talking about that, how when you go to West, there really isn't any really good entrance there. It's sort of like they're all over the place and you go, where? What should I do? Yeah. So, I mean, that's good to hear that that will be a major change.
Yeah. When you think about when West was built in the 50s.
Right.
And like what, you just had all these doors.
Right.
It's like, get people in. You know, we'll have them all open during the day and we'll lock them at night. And boy, our world certainly, our society
changed.
Has shifted. And so the change at West will reflect, there needs to be a single point of entry.
Right.
And everybody needs to be able to see it.
Right.
This is where you go in. This is where you check in. And it's safe. It's welcoming, but it's also secure.
Because, you know, when you go to East, you go there and you actually have people at the door
and
that welcome you. They're very welcoming, but also it's like, are you supposed to be here? And you check in and make sure you're where you're supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fine art to be able to be welcoming, but also be asking, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Why are you here? Should you be here? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's next? I mean, are there other things that are big things you're working on right now, or is it just kind of...
Yeah, the final quarter of the school year starts next Monday.
Okay.
And especially at the high schools, that is very intense, especially when you're talking about seniors, graduating, credit attainment, kids who want to finish right on time or maybe finish in the summer. Our teachers and counselors, our admin, are doing everything they can to make that a positive experience, but not just for the seniors. I mean, there's some good data, strong data across the country that if you're not successful in a couple classes in ninth grade, you are now at risk.
Yeah. Just a couple classes.
Just a couple, you know, and you can survive that and you can overcome that, but the road gets harder.
Yep.
And so high schools, especially the last 9 weeks of the school year, really intense. I think that in our middle or in our elementary and middle schools, those MCA tests are really important. On our kid, nobody wants to stress out a kid over a test, but I can tell you that our teachers and our principals, they're stressed. I mean, they are wanting to make sure we're doing everything we can that when a student takes those exams, it's a truer representation of what they know. So that is a real high and hot focus in the next month or so. And then, you know, it's with all the fun things that happen in the spring. Spring sports get outside, and even after this little cold snap and some snow. The tracksters and the baseball and softball and lacrosse. I mean, just getting everybody out is a fun time of the year.
I feel like winter just started. I mean, I really.
I know.
It's like, it's the start of winter. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, well, I appreciate all the things you shared with us and that are going on in the schools, yeah. and it's not an easy job. There's a lot of moving parts there.
Well, thank you for saying that, and I think that I'm so proud to work in public education. The last few years, I mean, public entities, public institutions, higher education, public K-12, some of the waters have been pretty choppy, you know, and we are so grateful and so thankful to be in a community that, I mean, we have our good rigorous debates, but at its foundation, I think that the public part of public education is just so very important. Couldn't be prouder to be here in Mankato and working in partnership with MSU and our other community partners to continue to value education. So always appreciate the chance to come in and talk about what's going on in our system, Karen.
Well, we're glad you had you back. You had, like you said, we had a little break there, but yeah. Lots of things to catch up on. And as you always do, always have something new to talk about. So we'll see you next month.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Paul. Dr. Paul Peterson, the superintendent of Mankato Area Public Schools, District 77.